Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
So for your show and tell today, I'm going to give you a quick tour of the Bible. You ready for that? Okay, so this is a Bible. There is a Bible just like this underneath of the pew in front of every other pew, except for this one. So, as you know, I'm saying it's mostly for the benefit of the folks out there who don't know, because you are all very well educated on these things. But as you know, the Bible has lots and lots and lots of different books all tied up inside of it. And they have lots and lots of different stories, and some of the most special stories we read from the Bible are stories about Jesus that come from the Gospels, and the Gospels are in the New Testament, because your Bible has two halves. Okay, I'm going to show you where the halves are. So this half right here, you know, that's called the New Testament, and this half here, which is bigger than the other half, we often call the Old Testament. And so there's a lot of Bible that happened before these stories about Jesus. And we're going to start this fall reading some of those stories from the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible. And so we're going to hear stories about a prophet named Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah gave us a lot of beautiful, beautiful words that we often understand to be telling us about who Jesus is going to be. So it's going to be important to read those before we meet Jesus at our Christmas time. And we're going to read about the prophet Elijah. And Elijah told God's word in the same way that we think Jesus told God's word. And starting today, we are going to meet King David. King David is the human character that gets the most screen time in the Old Testament. And we're going to meet him today, and he's going to help us think about not only what does it mean to do things in God's name, but it's also going to help us think about what does it mean to be in a relationship with God. What does it mean to live with God, and what is that like? So we're going to start with thinking about that today. So here's what happened before King David, because even if King David wrote the story, like there's stuff that came before that. So before the story of King David, God's people were enslaved in the land of Egypt, and God set them free, and that's great. And God said, I'm going to set you so free, you are not even going to have a king to tell you what to do. You're just going to have a relationship with me. And people tried that for a little bit, and they said, no, we would rather have a king. And the prophet Samuel, who we're meeting today, said, that's a really terrible idea. And went to God and said, people want to have this terrible idea. And God said, I agree, that's a terrible idea, but sometimes I give the people what they want anyway. And so the people had a king named Saul, and he was not a good king. He was really good at king. He was really good at getting the power. He was not really good at being faithful to God. And so today, the story is going to be about the prophet Samuel finding David before he is the king. Finding David saying, hey, you are going to be the king. Alright? So that's the story that's going to happen today. Don't worry, I don't spoil it.
Today's scripture reading is from Samuel 16, 1 through 13, which can be found on page 322 in the Old Testament in your pew Bibles or on the screens. Please join me in reading this scripture responsively. But before we do that, we'll do the prayer for illumination, which, yes, of course, is right above where I just read. Testify to us, O God, by the voice of your Spirit. Put your law in our hearts, write your word on our minds, and show your will in our lives through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with the oil and set out. I will send you Jesse, Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint me, and one I am named to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on his height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Eliab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, before we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him." That's unfortunate. "For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The Lord looks on the heart. We are shaped by the different relationships that we have and have had through our lives. And you, I'm sure, know of relationships that have changed you, relationships that have shaped the person you have become. It could be a relationship with a friend or a coworker, a teacher, a classmate, a significant other. But think for just a second about what your expectations of that relationship were when that relationship started. They might have been super grand expectations. They could have been really low expectations, depending on what kind of relationship that was or where you were in your life. But I'm going to guess that whatever your expectations of that relationship were, those expectations were much, much smaller than what it turned out God was doing in your life through that relationship. So think about how much you learned about yourself through that relationship, how much you changed and developed and grew along the way, what about our world was revealed to you. And isn't it beautiful that God's story unfolds in our lives through those unexpected kinds of ways? So the story of King David begins today. We're not going to spend a long time talking about King David because we've got a lot else to talk about today. But the story of King David begins with telling us that God sees David in a way that humans are not really able to look at each other. God sees David in a way that humans are not really able to look at each other. God, it says, looks with the heart. Now, David, as we are going to find out over the next handful of weeks, David is not a perfect king. That's a really gentle way for me to put that. God doesn't think that a perfect king exists. And I think that's related to God using this hot mess of a human being to be the great king of God's people. But what this hot mess of a human being is, this thing that God has seen with the divine heart, is that David is so powerfully driven by this desire to serve God and be in relationship with God. And so when we read David's story over the next handful of weeks, I got to be really clear, we are not looking for an example here. We are not going to be called to try and be King David when we grow up. That would be a terrible idea. But we can read this story and be really encouraged by the way that God relates to this person. God is always gracious. God is gracious far beyond our own sins and our failings and draws out something inside of us that we never even knew was there. That's just how God works. And David's best moments, as we are going to read in the next few weeks, his best moments come when he is really closely in relationship with other people that he actually cares about. Now, he does wrong by some of them as well, let's be really clear. But as we read in Genesis not too many weeks ago, God said, it is not good for humanity to be alone. It is not good for us to try to somehow be in relationship with God and the world entirely on our own terms. We're just not built for that. We are built for open and honest relationships with God and with each other. And that's true here at church as well on Covenant Sunday. It is true that our relationship with God is healthier and richer when we are part of a community like this particular congregation. So today on Covenant Sunday, we're going to highlight some of Covenant's fellowship groups, these opportunities that we have to be in relationship with each other, opportunities to find your people, whoever your people happen to be at this particular moment in your life. This is going to be an invitation into some imperfect and complicated relationships with other human beings that we enter into with a heart that is seeking God's presence and God's action in our lives. So I want to invite you to not only celebrate the groups that you already know about or are already connected to in some way, but consider maybe you're being led right now to something different, something new, something other than what you've done before. Maybe you're considering a group that you didn't have time for in a previous season of your life, but now you do. Maybe you're thinking about a group that is part of a growing relationship with God. So what I'm going to do next is hand it over to some of the participants in our various fellowship groups to share what those groups mean to them. And I want to be really clear, this is not requests for help. We have committees, we have work to do, there's all kinds of other good stuff you can invest in, but what I want to invite you to today is the groups that are about those connections with each other, those groups that foster specifically those relationships with each other. So I'm going to invite some folks up. You know who you are, and If you don't remember what order you're in, there will be pictures on the screen to remind you. And just tell us about how the group that you're speaking about matters and what difference it makes in your lives. You'll see details up on the screen about when they meet and whom to contact, and there's a response form in your bulletin if you want to learn more. Just fill that out, put your name and your phone number or email on that. You can drop it in the offering box at the end of the service, and we will help the leaders of those groups get in touch with you. But we've got participants in groups first. I'd like to begin with Elizabeth.
Should I take this off?
The next person is significantly shorter than you, so yeah, you probably
would. Okay. my name is Elizabeth Hilliard. I'm in ninth grade, and I'm the representation for the youth group. I really like the youth group because of the community that's involved with it, just like hanging out with kids that are my age outside of school. Like, most of the kids in the youth group aren't in my school, so it's kind of an opportunity to like get to know more people, stuff like that. I also love going out into the community because it just feels like I'm making a difference to the people in the community, and I guess that's kind of all I have to say. Okay. Man, I should have done notes.
Hi, I am Reed Schieber, and I am in fifth grade. I like going to Covenant Kids on Wednesday nights because the kids are really nice and the game station is really fun. My favorite is when we play Gaga Ball in the old sanctuary.
Oh, there you are. You were hiding right behind Russ. There you are, sir.
Kathy and I started going here in 2004, and it wasn't very long after that that Jay Brown grabbed me by the shoulder and said, "You need to be coming to the men's breakfast." So for almost 20 years, I've been coming to the men's breakfast, where we gather to share thoughts on important subjects like Iowa State or Iowa. we gather around the table, and as good Presbyterian men, we eat. Breakfasts are our share of an overdose of cholesterol for the month. But in doing so, I have come to know many of the men of the church that come to the breakfast, probably more than I ever thought I would get to know them, and they more than they thought they would get to know me. But in doing so, we share thoughts, feelings, experiences that I don't think they share anyplace else. And for that, I'm grateful.
Oh, no, you're right. Sorry. My notes had Anne in the wrong place. My fault. Julie!
Thank you. I'm Julie Sievert, and I'm part of the book club that we have here at church. We had one before COVID, kind of stopped for a while, and now we are trying to get started again. It's meaningful to me because I'm an avid reader. And perhaps more importantly, it allows me to know other members of congregation and who enjoy reading. And we read a variety of genres each month, and everyone is invited to join us. Read the book, come if you can. If you don't come, we'll still provide our book review for you. And Jennifer prints in the Covenant Corner each month what book we're going to read. And like I say, come if you can, and we would love to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mary Lee.
Hi, Good morning. I'm Marilee Myers. When I was asked why I do the diaper ministry, I immediately thought of three reasons. First of all, I learned to sew in 4-H and did quite a bit of sewing for the next 20 or so years. But then life got busy with family and work, and I didn't get so much done. So then when I retired and I saw that there was this diaper ministry here and I could kind of get back into sewing again, I thought it was a good idea, so I joined the group. Secondly, for fellowship. It's a wonderful group of ladies led by seamstress extraordinaire Bert Martindale. And we visit as well as sew. In fact, every month I kind of try to recommit to doing a little more sewing and a little less visiting. Doesn't really happen. And the third reason is the mission part. The diapers that we make from recycled and overstocked t-shirts go primarily to mothers and babies in Haiti, but they have also gone to El Salvador, and some have stayed right here with Lutheran Services of Iowa. We can use sewers as well as non-sewers. So come and join us. We'd love to have you. Thank you.
All right, next up. See, I want to make sure I call on the right people now. Diane. Yeah, I can do that.
Good morning. I'm Diane Johnson, and I'm going to talk about both morning and evening circle because Deb couldn't make it today to talk about the morning circle. And I attend both of them, so I guess I'm qualified to talk about both of them. I've been participating in circles for almost 20 years, and these groups really matter to me because of the friends that I have made over those years. As we study together, we have shared ideas and experiences and of our Christian faith. Sometimes we just share what's happening in our lives, and I think that's important too. And if there's some support needed, we can give that, or if there's just a happy smile for somebody who shared something, we can do that also. I think about the women that I know because of these groups, and I'm also, like John, I'm grateful for the circle of friends that I have from this. And like the men, women also like to cook and eat, and I've gotten some great recipes from the refreshments that we have at our circle gatherings. But please check us out. If you can't make it to the morning 1 month, you can come to the evening circle. We study the same lessons, and all are welcome. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mary Marshall, and I've been attending Ladies Who Lunch off and on pretty much since it was founded. The neat thing about it is we go to different restaurants each month, so it's not like same food, not even the same people every time, because some of us, we come when we can. But what's meaningful to me is the fact that we chance to get together and get to know some of the newer members and discuss various things. It's just a great group, and I do like to go when I can. So please join us.
I'm Ann McGowan. I tell you, I have not enjoyed getting up to be here at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings, but contemporary issues is so interesting. Reverend Nathan makes it so interesting in such a variety of topics that I get here. And this year we're starting at 8:40, so we have 10 extra minutes. Woohoo! I used every one of those this morning to get myself here with my potluck. So, some of the topics we have discussed lately, it's not Bible study, but it's all faith-based. Race and Christian mission, death and dying, the future of sports, not Iowa and Iowa, John. It's like name, image, likeness, and maybe this year we need to talk about gambling in sports, I don't know. Climate change, enchanting Christian life. Faithful conversations about the 1619 Project, the book Decolonizing Wealth, the Faithful Voter Reflection Guide presented by Interfaith Power and Light, and the study of public and personal issues addressed by the PCUSA General Assembly. We did start this morning. Yes, Warren, you're a week late. Get with it. And this morning we saw short videos of youth in Des Moines and their faith journey, so it's very interesting. And then we had a good conversation. I invite you all to join. It's worth getting up early and stimulating, and keep it going, Nathan.
Hi, I'm Steve Barazzi, talking about the Sunday morning adult Bible study. Have any of you guys ever asked or told yourselves, you know what, I need to read the Bible. I'd like to read the Bible, the whole Bible, the entire Bible, start to finish, front cover to back cover. Well, I've said that to myself several times. And then I'll start in on that process, and I read for about a half an hour, and then I go, this is not going to happen. There's no way in the world I have the self-discipline to ever read this whole thing the whole way through. So the adult Bible study that we have is the second best thing to that. Maybe it's probably better than that, because it's a group of people. We get together Sunday morning and we read the Bible. We don't have any set agenda. We don't have any particular goal we're trying to meet. We just choose a book of the Bible. We're not going from start to finish. We just choose a book of the Bible, and we start reading. We'll read a few verses, and then we'll just discuss. It's an open discussion. We can talk about anything anybody wants to talk about. We might talk about, you know, what's the historical background of that? What's the what's going on in specifically in those verses? What does it mean in our lives? That kind of stuff. Our discussions go all over the place. Sometimes we wander way off on some tangent. Our leader, Lee, sometimes will rein us back in, but he's got a really long leash, so he'll let us go a long ways on that. We all bring different Bibles in. We all bring our own Bibles in. They're different translations. So we will spend a little bit of time and read those different translations. Are they the same? Are they different? Are they telling us the same thing? Or what's the situation with those different translations? We'll look at those. Specifically, I sort of like geography. I'm a geography guy, so I like the geography of the Bible. You know, all the Bibles have the maps in the back. I really like to, when we're reading verses, I like to look at, well, where did this happen? Where is this at, physically at? You know, was it in Nazareth or Bethlehem or Jerusalem or the Sea of Galilee, or the River Jordan, or on some of Paul's journeys all over the place. So if you like any of that kind of stuff and just want to have an open discussion about what we see in the Bible, maybe this interests you, okay?
Good morning. My name is Casey Tickle, and my involvement with the Bells began 20 years ago, which is hard for me to believe. But in 2003, I moved to West Des Moines and was looking for a church, and luckily Covenant was close by. And so I started coming, and everyone was very welcoming and friendly. But I came on Sunday mornings and I left, and I really wasn't getting to know people that well. So I filled out one of those slips of paper that are in the bulletins, and our previous director, Julianne, reached out to me and asked if I would like to join the Bell Choir. I had never played bells before, but I love music, but I can't sing. So I thought maybe this is the group for me. So I came on a Wednesday night. It's also nice because it's of an evening, and since I still work full time, I can't always come to the day things. So I came on the first Wednesday night, and they taught me how to hold the bells. I know how to read music, but if you don't, they are color-coded with pink and blue highlighters, so you just follow the colors. We have males and females, older and younger, musical ability or not. And just like the slip in the bulletin today says, I found my people. And since I've been in, we have played at two weddings. We have played at a funeral. We have gone to Calvin Community. We have played and had laughs and really enjoyed our Wednesday nights together. And so, and then when one of our members moved away, she asked if I would take over or think about taking over her elder position in Mission and Action. So that got me even more involved in the church. So just kind of saying yes and coming to a group really helped me make connections here at the church and has kept me involved and really made the whole church feel like family.
I'm still Lisa Elbers. And I've been a member of the chancel choir for many years, and I've been singing my whole life. And I participate in this church choir for two main reasons. When I was a young person, someone told me that when you sing in a church choir, it's like praying twice. And I believe this because if you pay attention during the gift of music, you're going to find some pretty powerful messages in the songs that we sing. But the main reason I'm a member of this choir is because we are a family within a family. We sing together, which is a gift in itself, but we are more. We are together in our individual lives, highest highs and lowest lows. And we love and have all levels of musical talent. So I invite you to join us.
I'd like to add something there. We need altos. There are only two of us up there this time. Better if we only have three. We need more.
So consider all of these to be invitations and invitations to places you may find your people. And as we've said, there is that response form in your bulletin. You are welcome to check anything or just almost everything on there if you like, and drop that in the offering box after worship, and we'll get in touch with you. So in the year we are at Covenant Sunday, it's the beginning of our program year together, and in the scripture we are at the beginning of David's story. And part of the point is that we can't yet see where God is leading us. We can't yet see what God is doing with us and for us. And so this life with God has to have something to do with being open to what God is doing even before we know what that is. And that happens here at church as well. So it may well be that in one of those fellowship opportunities, you will find the relationships that you and maybe those relationships will shape your heart and become deeply to God's love. So may it be.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission this morning lifts up the Peace and Global Witness offering. On World Communion Sunday every year, we celebrate the unity of Christ's church around the world and across every border. We celebrate the global unity of the church through the Peace and Global Witness special offering, where we join in God's mission of reconciliation around the corner and around the world. We work for peace by addressing systems and causes of conflict across the world, including poverty, climate change, and structural injustice. And 25% of the Peace and Global Witness offering stays right here at Covenant to support our hands-on work to address injustice and poverty. Our local portion of the Peace and Global Witness offering this year will support the diaper mission, which Marilee told us about. So you know how volunteers meet every month to repurpose t-shirts by turning them into reusable diapers for families locally and around the world, especially in Haiti. And Mary Lee told you how much joy there is in doing that work. And there's purpose and impact as well. Our mission partners in Rochester, Minnesota have an active mission relationship in Haiti and transport the diapers that we make there directly to families. Most of the material for the diapers is donated, and of course all the labor is as well, but there are some expenses for soaker fabric, for ties, for some miscellaneous materials, and your Peace and Global Witness offering will directly help to purchase the materials we need to keep making diapers for others. World Communion Sunday falls on October 1st this year, and you can contribute to the Peace and Global Witness offering anytime using those envelopes in the back of the pew in front of you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.